Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
That's an incredible testimony because, I mean, every part of it was a testimony, but you ended by saying, God provided for my business, right? So, I mean, it was like a story of deliverance, of salvation, of protection, of favor, right? But at the end, he's providing for your business. So, Jesus, we just thank you that anybody here who has a business that needs provision, God, I thank you that you are providing in creative ways right now, just like you did for Mike, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mike or Michael? Mike, it's okay. All right, I didn't want to say the wrong name. Amen. Come on. Well, I'm glad we only had one testimony because that was rich. That was like five different testimonies crammed into one. Thank you so much. That was so good. I love the song that we do. Am I loud? I feel very loud this morning. If I'm too loud, am I too loud? I feel like I'm hurting myself. Thank you, Will. I never want to hurt anyone with my voice, especially the little one over there. The song, Fear Is Not My Future. Can we just say that out loud? Fear is not my future. I love this song because it's like testimony. It's like spark notes or something. You know, you ever get like a prompting in speech class? Like you got to do a speech based on this line, right? And there are, fear is not my future. Sickness is not my story. Heartbreak is not my home. And death is not the end. If you have a testimony this morning, I guarantee, or I almost guarantee, one of those lines is the jumping off point for your testimony. So that's why we did it today, because we may not have had everybody sharing their story, but if you sang that song, you sung your story this morning, right? So can we just say that out loud together? Fear is not my future. Sickness is not my story. Heartbreak is not my home. And death is not the end. Amen, amen. And we just bless you, Mike, and just seal your testimony in Jesus' name. We just bless you with this new chapter that God is just continuing to write it and protect you and guide you in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you so much. So today is somebody's birthday. Does anybody know whose birthday it is? This is a very important birthday. In fact, Jesus died just for her. Gave up living in heaven for just a moment with her. Jesus suffered just for her, and actually, he's coming back only for her, nobody else. Right. There we go, the church. Paul, did you say the church? Yep, yep. And you said the bride of Christ, the church. Today is Pentecost, which is widely known as the birth of the church. Now, if you were expecting to see our spiritual dad here in the house, Rich Brink. I am not Rich Brink, although he's also tall and slender, right? He was going to be preaching on Pentecost, which would have just been amazing, but he had knee replacement surgery, and he gave me a call late this week and said, I don't think I'm going to make it. He has to drive 3.5 hours and stand to preach normally, and I don't think he was prepped there yet. So if you know Rich, he is an incredible man of God. We're going to get him this summer, so fear not. He'll be back. And if you have him as a friend on Facebook or something, shoot him a message saying you're praying for him for fast recovery, because if you know him at all, he loves to move. So I'm sure sitting still for him right now after surgery is not great. But we're going to celebrate the birthday of the church without him today. So just turn to the person next to you and say, it's your birthday. Anybody know that annoying song? What is it? Brian always used to sing it for me like, it's your birthday. Anyone know it? I wasn't going to do that one, but anyway. Is it anyone's real birthday today? I just want to make sure I'm not. Okay, good, because that would be awful if I was blowing over your birthday as I'm talking about it. But anyway, today's Pentecost, the birthday of the church. So guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Holy Spirit today. I am excited about this topic because I don't know what your story is with Holy Spirit. Everyone's got a different journey. Maybe your memory of Holy Spirit is like going to church meetings and weird things are happening and you're freaked out and you don't know what's going on. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the message here this morning. But for me, I've got a kind of unique testimony with Holy Spirit. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, I remember being in this church. It wasn't this building. It was a little tiny chapel over at George Jr. And the pastor's daughter at the time was in the back room with me. I don't think she knows I tell this story, but she's a great, great person, just so you know. Hillary and Natalie, one of them. And I was in the back side room, and they were like, "Do you speak in tongues?" or something. And my little three-year-old voice was like, "If you can speak in tongues, I can speak in tongues." So I just start speaking in tongues. So my first memory of speaking in tongues is at age 3. I don't know if I was actually speaking in tongues or not. Who knows? But I'm going to say I was. And a lot of that happened because I believe I got filled with the Holy Spirit at a very, very, very little age. But if you are here today and you are saved, Holy Spirit is inside of you. And then we know that there is a baptism of Holy Spirit where he comes on you, and it says he gives you power or dunamis, which actually also means capacity. So there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that happens, and we actually get a capacity for God. We get a capacity for loving people with the heart of God in powerful ways. But I'm not going to get into that deeply this morning, but just know that if you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, don't leave today without getting prayer. And I'm just saying from Rod and from Caleb, I know both these men, these pastors here have an anointing for that. But I mean, you can pray for yourself or get someone sitting next to you to pray for you too, because we're all ministers of the gospel. But these two, they have an anointing for that. So you may speak in tongues, you may not at first, that's okay. But we know that Holy Spirit comes on you to minister to others, and you'll get a power and a heart for others that you never had. So I just want to put that out there before we dive in. But Acts chapter 2, we're going to live in here for just a second. And I'm not actually going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit much today. If you have questions, again, you can see Pastor Rod or Pastor Caleb on that. But I'm more going to talk about who Holy Spirit is. Because how many know, if you don't know who he is, you might not know if you want him or not. Have you ever been confused about who Holy Spirit is? Anybody? Just be honest. Wow. All right. Well, I'll just go home. I've been confused about who Holy Spirit is. We might need to do, our next sermon series will be on honesty and vulnerability. Just going to put that out there. I actually have a really cool idea for the next sermon series. I'm not going to say it yet because I got to talk with my team, but it involves a big inflatable something that will be here possibly next week or in the near future. So just be, poor Brian was blowing up this giant thing last night. So that's all I'm going to say. We're going to have fun this summer. But Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, because how many know Pentecost is not just a New Testament random day, right? They didn't just wake up and name it that. Pentecost is actually the Jewish holiday Shavuot, which celebrates the time when the presence of God fell on Mount Sinai. So you can actually go to the Old Testament where Moses is around, and you can read about the first Pentecost if you're looking for the Hebrew roots of Christianity. Pastor Tom has written multiple books on that subject, so if you have any questions about that, go to him. But today, we're just going to realize that it's not the first time that they're celebrating Pentecost. It just looks different this time, right? So on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Everyone say one place. Do you remember? Now, if you're newer here, maybe you don't remember because maybe you weren't coming to church yet or something. But for anyone who does remember, coming back here the first time inside or outside after we hadn't been on the property together a couple years ago. Anyone remember that feeling? I felt like, I mean, it was better than going to the Bahamas, going anywhere. It was like, we're going to church, we're going to church. And then like everyone was like, hi, you know, and it was like Christmas, right? I don't know, us extroverts, at least, it was like Christmas. Introverts, you may have been feeling like, oh man, you know, so I respect you. Just so you know, we all may not have had that shared experience. But for us extroverts, it was wonderful to come back to one place. But there is a power in being in one place. And I love online, and I know many of you are joining in online even this morning, and we welcome you. But there is a power that happens when you are physically, if you're able, to be in one place. So Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly they heard the voice of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Everyone say violent blast. Blast or roar. Just say roar. Anyone know that? I will not sing that song. I don't actually know if it's even a good song, but I love the chorus, like hear me roar, right? Don't look up the music video. I did that once. Don't do that. But hear me roar, right? I love the roar. I love that image of Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit comes, normally we think of it as like a peaceful soaking, right? Maybe Brian's got his little reverb on his guitar and he's just kind of picking away and we're all sitting here in silence and we're like, oh, the Holy Spirit's here. And that's wonderful because I'm sure he is. But I think sometimes it sounds more like a metal song or something, right? And I don't like metal, but a violent blasting roar doesn't sound like soaking piano to me, right? So I think Holy Spirit likes both, you know, more classical musicians and possibly more metalheads as well. So wherever you fall in that, God loves you and he likes to communicate to us, right? But what I love is it says it was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Why do we give more credit to being overwhelmed by stress than being overwhelmed by God? This is huge, especially after the last 2 years. How many know that you could get a phone call right now from your doctor and you would be overwhelmed and your whole life could change? Maybe you've gotten that phone call. It's not a pleasant thing. I normally don't get it that way. I normally get a call from one of you guys, right? Updating me at 6 a.m. and I'm like, whoa, wait, where do I gotta go? Who died? What hospital do I need to go to, right? One phone call and your world changes. Why don't we think 20 seconds with Jesus, just like a 20-second phone call, 20 seconds with Holy Spirit can change your world the same as a 20-second phone call from your doctor? Why do we say that something from this world, stress, fear, anxiety, how come that gets a bigger throne than Jesus? And I'm not saying that if you feel anxiety or you feel that stress, that, you know, there's something wrong with you. We know that our bodies respond to that, or our mental health responds to that. I'm not condemning that at all. But there is a perspective shift that has to happen, that the expectation of God moving in your life needs to be more than the expectation of something bad happening. Amen. Right? It was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. John 8:32, truth will set you free. I love that word truth, it means reality. God's reality will set you free. Are you worshiping your reality or God's reality? God can overbear you more than anything else in our world. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. I'd invite Judith to do a little twirlette thing, but if you saw her dancing up here, I think that was kind of the physical example this morning. Some churches have big, expensive plasma screens. We have Judith, who just decided to be the living flame this morning. So go, Judith. She obeyed Holy Spirit this morning. It was really awesome. Thank you. Let's see, I lost my place here. That engulfed each one of them, right? So everyone say everyone. God doesn't work some lottery to give out the Holy Spirit. In fact, the very disciple that denied Jesus 3 times was one of the main preachers that day. So if you think you had a bad week last week that disqualified you from spreading the gospel this week or walking with Holy Spirit, don't sell yourself short, because even the disciple that denied Jesus got to save thousands with Jesus here, right? So that's a really good reminder for us, but it's everyone. I love it because you're quoting, I believe it is Joel, you know, God will pour out his Spirit on both the sons and the daughters, right? So in the New Testament and Old Testament, we see incredible men of God, which we normally talk about, which is fantastic. But there are also some pretty amazing women. There's an apostle. There's some women preachers in the New Testament. It's pretty incredible if you look. So God loves to pour out his Spirit on everyone, sons and daughters. Sorry, that was not a good Mad Lib fill in the blank there. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Wait a second here. And you will sing 1,000 worship songs, begging for Holy Spirit to fill the room, and I will give you another advocate to help you. Is that what that says? No. How about, and if you are living perfectly, I will give you another advocate to help you. No? If I sing the same line of the same song for all the 30 minutes at Thrive, I will give you another advocate to help you. No? Not even a repetitive same lyric. You mean that's a modern thing? Jesus didn't say, you will pray, you beg. He said, I will pray. If you think you're praying for the Holy Spirit to fill you, Like, just realize that 2,000 years ago, Jesus already asked for it. And I think that God answers Jesus' prayer. I'm just going to put that out there. Jesus said, I will pray. If you think you're striving for God to fill you more, just stop while you're ahead, because Jesus already prayed for you. If you think nobody's praying for you, know that Jesus is praying for you. That's one of the most incredible life-changing mindset changes you'll ever get. Jesus is interceding day and night before the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, right? They like to talk. They like to communicate. They made us in his image. That's why we like to communicate, right? You and I are the residential address of the Holy Spirit on earth. You're not a rental unit for God to live in. You are his permanent residency. I was thinking of this morning because anybody watch Top Gun? I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not advocating for it, even though it is a phenomenal film. There's some language, just so you know. The language happens in their dog fights, I think it is, so just beware if you're going, just so anyone doesn't take their like five-year-old and think I said to do it or something. But it's incredible. Both Brian and I had major God encounters during the film. Like, walked out of it and were like talking to each other about how God literally like talked to us and changed even our marriage after it. If you have questions, talk to Brian. I don't think he knew I was going to say that, but there you go. But it was incredible, because the movie took place, they made a camera. If anyone knows, I did film before I did pastoring, and I got to shoot on a $40,000 camera once. But they made a film, a camera, to fit inside the cockpit of these airplanes so that the footage isn't CGI or green screen. Like, they're actually filming. It's so cool. But it all happens up in the air, right? And so I've been up in the air a lot, like thinking about outer space, and I realized, like, God created the universe, right? He created everything. And then he went on, like a real estate agent, he kind of looked and he said, where do I want to put my permanent residency of my Holy Spirit? And I don't know. I mean, don't go saying I preach this theologically, but he may have looked at the cats. He may have looked at the elephants. I don't know. And then he said, no. I'm going to make someone in my image, and I'm going to put a Holy Spirit in them. And that was you, and that was me. He decided to make us permanent residencies of his Spirit. I love that. We don't have to squeeze Holy Spirit out. We don't have to bait him. We don't have to pull him down. He is already here because Jesus asked for him. It's like the big brother who knows how to ask the parent to get the way for the little sibling. Jesus already took care of it for us, right? So we're going to start to wrap up here. I want to just go over a few common misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, this is one misconception. Holy Spirit is a scary spirit or influence. Have you ever said, like, oh, they came under the spirit of offense? Have you ever said that, right? Or, I've got a spirit of joy this morning. Holy Spirit isn't like that, right? Holy Spirit isn't like, I got the Holy Spirit this morning. It's like, well, where was he yesterday? Like, wait, what happened here, right? Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Holy Spirit isn't an it. Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to honor Holy Spirit like that. Holy Spirit is not a dove. Hate to break it to any bird lovers, but Holy Spirit's not a dove. It says Holy Spirit descended like a dove. In every time it says that in the Gospels, it's not is a dove, it's like a dove. Just like, you could say Pastor Tom is like a rabbi or something, right? But Pastor Tom is not a rabbi, right? But Pastor Tom carries a lot of wisdom like a rabbi in the Jewish studies, right? That was the only thing I could think of that wouldn't be offensive. I was trying to think of metaphors, I'm sorry. But he's not a rabbi, right? But Holy Spirit is not a dove, he's like a dove. And if you look up the personality of a dove, it's actually an amazing study. So I encourage you to do that. Why God would even say that. Holy Spirit can't be affected. Anyone ever think that? Like, oh man, like Holy Spirit was just always with me. Well, he is, but there's some things that grieve the Holy Spirit. We can actually cause pain to the Holy Spirit. It talks about causing deep distress to the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit actually cares about who we are and what we're doing in our life, because how we act and whether we're being whether we're judging or whether we're saying words that are not uplifting, it's actually affecting the Holy Spirit with us. Then the last one is Holy Spirit is scary or weird. People are weird. Holy Spirit is not. All right, I loved this. John Bevere has a book. It's called Holy Spirit, An Introduction, I believe is the title. And I haven't read the book, but I got to hear a message that I think the book is based on. Highly recommend it if the book's anything like his message. But he said that. He said, people are weird, Holy Spirit isn't. I was like, isn't that true? He said, you know, I have a feeling that the people that the Holy Spirit falls on and they're weird, I think they would have been weird without the Holy Spirit falling on them. I was like, you know, you're not wrong. And some of us are weird here. It's okay. Just be weird. I'm not judging, right? But it's important to realize, I loved what John Bevere said. He said, Jesus said, let the children come to me because they wanted to come to him. How many know children don't want to be around something that's kind of scary, right? Kids get spooked. But somehow Jesus was safe enough that the kids wanted to come to him. And so Holy Spirit is like that. I wrote this down because I thought this was appropriate, especially because we had all our flags out. I didn't know we were going to do that. 5 shofars, 3 banners, and someone lying on the ground does not mean Holy Spirit is here. Okay? I just want to put that out there. Historically in this church, you know, we have a charismatic background. If you're newer, you may not know that, although if you don't, I think you do. But, you know, 5 banners, 3 shofars, and someone lying on the ground, it does not actually mean Holy Spirit's here. Look around and see the fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, someone laughing. It doesn't always mean you're crying in the Holy Spirit. You might be laughing. It's okay to laugh, right? But you look for the fruit. And then there might be 5 banners, 3 shofars, and someone lying on the ground, and the Holy Spirit might be here really strong. And the person lying on the ground, if you've never seen that or experienced that, it just means the Holy Spirit came in so strongly that you couldn't stand anymore. And you had to just get down in his presence. You had to worship him. You got overwhelmed by him. Right? And so I just wanted to put that out there because I'm believing the Holy Spirit's going to be moving more and more in our midst. And I don't want anyone ever to get confused or freaked out by it, because you look for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace, joy, hope, love. And there's a whole basket of fruit that comes along, right? That's what we were singing this morning. So I'm just going to close here by looking at a scripture in 2 Corinthians 13. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Jesus gives grace, God the Father gives love, and Holy Spirit gives communion. Right? Isn't that interesting? Because like normally we think of Jesus giving communion, but Holy Spirit gives communion. That word communion means fellowship, partnership, and being intimate. That word fellowship means sharing together. Holy Spirit likes to share with you. He likes to be a companion. In the early church, we see in Acts that one of the apostles could actually tell the difference between an angel's voice and the Holy Spirit. That's how much he knew. It's like twins. I've seen, like, can you imagine? Has anyone had twins? Anyone having twins? Twins, you got some twins. So if you got twins, I don't have twins, obviously, but I'm thinking like if they're identical twins, at some point in their life, you may have mistaken one for the other. Anybody? No. I told you we're going to have an honesty and vulnerability series next, or you guys are just like the best parents in the world. But I would imagine, you know, you got to get to know the voice of your child, right? And so one of the apostles had gotten to know the voice of the Holy Spirit so intimately that he knew the difference between an angel and the voice of God. And that's the goal of fellowship. Partnership. Partners, you know, how many know if you got a business partner, you got to know their communication style, their schedule, their strengths, their preferences, right? And that's a partner. I love John 16, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. You know, Jesus never lied. So if he has to say, I'm telling you the truth, that probably means that he thinks you're not going to believe him, right? And so he says, it's for your good that I'm going away. In other words, I'm going to give you a partner for you to do life with. If you're a business owner here, or you're a parent here, or you're a single person, or a single parent, or whatever you are, you have a partner. You have a partner that was designed for you. You have a soulmate in Holy Spirit. I like this other thing that John Bevere said. He said, imagine if Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee right now, all right? And I lived on the Sea of Galilee for a while, so I know what it's like to walk on the Sea of Galilee. It's wonderful. Imagine Jesus right now is walking on the Sea of Galilee, and I have a plane ticket. Who would, like, do everything short of, like, taking me out to get the plane ticket if I only had one? Anybody? Right? But Jesus was limited by time and space, right? I mean, after he was resurrected, he walked through walls and stuff. He's God, but he was also man. And so he got crowded, right? He had to eat, he had to sleep, he took breaks. But Holy Spirit speaks our language, is 24/7, is all around the world. And so I doubt that any of you would actually take the plane ticket, because God gave us plane tickets to talk with the Holy Spirit 24/7 right here. And yet most of us don't pay attention to him. Are you following me? That really convicted my heart. Holy Spirit is just as real to us as if Jesus was in the flesh walking on the Sea of Galilee. Yet we don't actually give him our time. We don't talk about him. We don't give him our attention. We don't ask him questions. But he is the comforter, the teacher, the counselor, the helper. You have that. There are all these advertisements now for therapists and counselors. And, you know, in this church we say, if you need that, please go get that. But I just want to remind you that just as much as we may need a physical therapist, I don't mean a physical therapist, I need a physical therapist, but you know, a person that's a therapist, we need our Holy Spirit counselor. And don't ever forsake the counselor of God for a human. Don't ignore the human either that God's putting in your life to get help, but don't forsake the Holy Spirit. So why don't you stand on your feet? If you've ever tried to drive a car without power steering, you know that statistically it's really dangerous. And I'm not looking over on this way, don't worry. And if you're not strong, you may not even get out of the driveway. I don't think I would make it out of the driveway without power steering. Holy Spirit is like our power steering. We're actually a hazard to the people around us and to ourselves without Holy Spirit. Like, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, if you don't have patience, long-suffering, love, hope, joy, peace, if you don't have that growing in your life, how many know that's like the biggest hazard that you could possibly be to yourself, your family, your workplace, your school, your future? And I don't think we talk about the Holy Spirit enough here. And so I want to just, less maybe of a teaching message, it was a little bit like a Bible study. If you want like a deeper teaching, go back and listen to a couple podcasts, because we've done a couple deeper things. But today was meant to be more of an awareness. Like, let me reintroduce you to your friend. And if you're not talking to him every day, you might want to start talking to him, because he's here and we want to create an environment where he feels at home. And how do you do that with a friend? You talk about them. You leave a seat at the table for them, right? You give space to them in your time. You maybe you stop cussing, or you stop watching something that maybe isn't actually building you up, because that kind of atmosphere doesn't always create a home for the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean he's forsaking you, but you might be grieving him. And so it's good to check in with the Holy Spirit, with what you're putting in yourself, how you're communicating, what are you putting out, right? So I want to just tell you. And as I say these descriptions of Holy Spirit, I want to invite you just to close your eyes, and whatever part of who the Holy Spirit is that I say that stands out to you, I just want you to receive him this morning. I'm here to tell you Holy Spirit is the person you have always wanted the number of but didn't know you had. Holy Spirit is your comforter, your helper, your intercessor, your legal advocate, your teacher, your strength, your 24/7 access to God's heart and presence. In this quote from Charles Spurgeon, remember at the outset that whatever the Holy Spirit was at the first, he is that now. For he is God. He remains forever the same. Whatever he did then, he is able to do still, for his power has by no means diminished. He is no less an intercessor or a teacher or a legal advocate or a comforter or a counselor to the disciples as he is to you now.
If I may, the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth.
Yes, amen. Amen. I invite you guys to do a Bible study even on the Holy Spirit. There's so many scriptures to look at. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you in this place. And God, I thank you that for any of us who maybe haven't been paying attention to you, I know this message brought me home to you. It reminded me that, Holy Spirit, you are God. You are Emmanuel, God with us, that we aren't alone. And that's not some bumper sticker that people put on cars these days to feel better, but we actually carry the reality of that. Thank you, God, that you are our counselor and our advocate. We welcome you to come be that for us this week. And we make ourselves aware of who you are. We make room for you in our heart, God. Make room for you in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our parenting, whatever season of life we're in. We make room for you to be God on the throne. We don't worship stress. We don't worship a sickness. We don't worship heartbreak. We don't worship bad news. We worship you. And we welcome you to sit on the throne of our heart, Holy Spirit. Help us in our weakness. Lift us up on your shoulders and carry us this week in any area that we are confused in or need your help in, God. We welcome you to be you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I do invite you to do some Bible studies on your own. Just Google Bible verses on the Holy Spirit, and you'll see a lot of powerful ones. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't leave. Come up to the front, and Pastor Caleb and Pastor Rod will be praying. If you just want a fresh outpouring, in the Bible we see that some of the apostles, they said, like, the Holy Spirit came on me again, right? So you can get a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit as well. So come on up to the front if you'd like that. Otherwise, be a witness this week. And we can't wait to see you at Dairy Days. We'll be a witness there too. All right? God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.